Hello, .NET readers, members, and listeners. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the WWE 205 live show that aired June 27th, 2017 on the WWE Network. This week's episode aired live from the land of Ron Burgundy and fish tacos, San Diego, California, SoCal. Not like my hometown in SoCal, but south of my hometown in SoCal. My hometown's LA. San Diego's even further. And they were at the Valley View Casino Center. This aired live after SmackDown. After the commercial break for non-members, I will go into my full audio review of the show, headlined by Neville, talking about his upcoming Cruiserweight title defense against Akira Tozawa at WWE Great Balls of Fire. Okay, I'm back. And, of course, if you would like to follow along with my audio review, you can check out my written review of the show, which was posted the same day as this audio is posted. So, check it out. As for some preliminary thoughts, this was a solid episode of 205 Live, by 205 Live standards. And I think this might have been the best show that I've reviewed since I took over from Sim. And I'll get into why when I actually get into the review. There's a bunch of small little reasons, but it was a solid show. Like I said, by 205 Live standards, because it's not must-see. This wasn't a must-see episode by any means, but there were some good positive things, and I'll get into it in my actual review. So let's not hold on and get into the review now. As I mentioned, it aired after SmackDown. From San Diego, California, at the Valley View Casino Center. This week had a cold opening this time. Last week we had Titus O'Neil trying to recruit Akira Tozawa. This week we had a video package recapping Titus O'Neil trying to recruit Akira Tozawa. And by the end of it, he was trying to recruit him to the Titus brand, and now he's calling the Titus brand Titus Worldwide. I wonder if LeVar Bell yelled at Titus O'Neil backstage or Android Vince McMahon to change the name, therefore so it doesn't have the word brand in it. I don't know. That segment was weird last night. Even though I am hoping that Lonzo Bell is the next hope of the Lakers, because as a huge Lakers fan, we've been suffering for years. I'm not going to go into a Lakers tangent. Hope. Anyway, after the intro theme, we had Vic Joseph and Corey Graves checking in on commentary. This time they wore different suits. It was kind of creepy last week because Vic Joseph looked like a Corey Graves cosplayer, where he tried to look like Corey Graves. He still has the haircut like Corey Graves, which is still odd, but otherwise they look sort of different. As for some thoughts on Vic Joseph, though, not really impressed by his work. He's more vanilla than Rich Brennan. If Rich Brennan is the example of vanilla, vanilla WWE commentator, Vic Joseph is sugar-free vanilla. He so far he hasn't really shown anything, and in his calls he does that whole Vince McMahon "what a maneuver" call like in every single match. It's very interesting. I really wonder if Vince McMahon is actually watching 205 Live, or if Vic Joseph is watching Vince McMahon tapes. But anyway, we cut to Dasha Fuentes, who was backstage interviewing Jack Gallagher. Jack Gallagher was talking about how he was going to bounce back from his loss against, who was it last week? Tony Nese. And he said he let his gentlemanly self get in the way of preparing for the possible cheating that Nese would do. He said, of course he's prepared for what kind of dastardly things Brian Kendrick's going to do. And then, of course, he was interviewed from gorilla position, so he came out and was waiting for Brian Kendrick, who was his opponent tonight. So, of course, he was waiting for Kendrick's entrance theme, and all of a sudden his entrance theme played again. You had Brian Kendrick coming out as Jack Gallagher. Not really, because it's kind of tough to really do Jack Gallagher. But he came out in a suit, had the mustache, a wig, and an umbrella with him. He was like going all, like cheerio, pip pip, all those English stereotype things. He said Jack calls himself a imitation of William Regal, which I thought was odd. I always thought that Pete Dunne was more William Regal than Jack Gallagher. But anyway, he said, so Kendrick said Jack was no James Bond. He is a pint-sized, pale imitation of William Regal. And he also made fun of England. So, like, it doesn't really draw heat in the US, but I'm sure a lot of people in England were mad. Which leads us to our first match of the night, which was Jack Gallagher versus the Brian Kendrick. The Brian Kendrick wrestled in a suit, and I said it reminded me of Loki, who wrestles in a suit these days. Of course, Brian Kendrick is not channeling the Hitman video game, but at least we know what Brian Kendrick is going for. Impact doesn't tell us why Lowkey is dressed up like Agent 47. Kendrick was doing this because he was trying to get in the head of Jack Gallagher. Brian Kendrick ends up losing this match via disqualification in 3 minutes and 4 seconds, but I really liked the ending of the match. So you had Jack Gallagher making his comeback. Kendrick ended up back tossing Jack Gallagher into the turnbuckle, I believe, and then he just kept hitting him. Jack Gallagher, Brian Kendrick hitting Jack Gallagher with the umbrella, just packing at him. And the first umbrella broke, so he tossed it into the crowd, which got a pop from the crowd. And he took Jack Gallagher's umbrella and started whacking Jack Gallagher with it after. Very cool. I liked it. It's Brian Kendrick in recent months in 205 Live has sort of just been the just he goes by the Wizard of Odd. It's this really odd character that only he seems to get. What I liked seeing the Brian Kendrick that we saw on SmackDown a long time ago when he had Ezekiel Jackson, the like really aggressive but also very D-baggy Brian Kendrick that we used to see. And that's what we saw here. He also, with the whole suit thing, this was something he did in TNA while he was a babyface. I remember, if I remember correctly, it was a long time ago. He was feuding with Austin Aries at the time, and he ended up dressing in a suit to mock Austin Aries, who was the heel. Very similar, and I bet just as effective. Like I said, this is more effective than that weird Wizard of Odd character that he's been doing, which is just odd, and only he seems to get it. But I'm also looking forward to this feud in the sense that it takes Jack Gallagher away from wherever he was at with Arya Davari and puts him in a new feud. And it takes Brian Kendrick, puts him in a new feud, and hopefully Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher can put together something very fun. I'm actually looking forward to it. After that, we had Drew Gulak being interviewed. This was where he took credit for saying that Mustafa Ali had to use a ground hold to pick up the victory. I said this was totally booked wrong last week. The ending was booked perfectly. It was just the post-match thing was kind of wrong because they had Ali, being successful at the end, which is fine. But what they should have done was have Drew Gulak steal Mustafa Ali's thunder to at least put some heat back on Drew Gulak, because where does Drew Gulak go from here? He ends up going, a step forward in the right direction again. But our next match of the night was Mustafa Ali versus Drew Gulak. And Mustafa Ali defeated Drew Gulak via pinfall in 6 minutes and 53 seconds. Very good match. Good integration of their styles. So, of course, you have Mustafa Ali doing the high-flying action and Drew Gulak doing the exaggerated version of his ground and pound. The end of the match had they were fighting on the top rope because Ali was going for a top rope move, but Drew Gulak pushes Mustafa Ali off, which puts Drew Gulak in position to do a high-flying move. And in a very comical fashion, we had Drew Gulak going for the Jimmy Snuka Superfly Splash, which he missed because he was trying too hard to get to the top rope. And we had Mustafa Ali winning with the Destroyer Cradle, another ground roll-up. And I thought it was solid. Maybe just keep having Ali pick up a few of these roll-up wins, and hopefully they get to Drew Gulak stealing his thunder. But it worked so far, and also Drew Gulak can go to blaming his loss on the high-flying move. So this feud hasn't gotten too stale yet. It's still pretty surface level at the moment. It's just like I'm not sure if it can get into a next gear, but it made Drew Gulak pretty interesting, which is something he hasn't been in ever. He has got out of that boring level. Now that spot is inhabited by Timothy Thatcher, which I joked with Hayden Gleed about on our last podcast. But there you go. Drew Gulak is interesting now. And let's see where this feud goes. I'll take a break right now to talk about .NET membership. And you're probably asking, why all of a sudden are you giving us a 205 Live audio review? Why did Jason Powell post a full raw audio last night while only last week posting hitless audio? Well, those full audio reviews that you're hearing now, last night, and sprinkled here and there every week, they happen almost every day for on every weekday on the ProWrestling.net main site. So, every week we have full-on audio reviews. Not just quick hits, but full-on audio reviews of WWE Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, Ring of Honor, Lucha Underground, Impact Wrestling. We have it all. We even have every big pay-per-view reviewed. We had the Ring of Honor Best in the World pay-per-view reviewed. And this weekend, Jason Powell has you covered for the TNA Slammiversary pay-per-view. We will also have written reviews for TNA Slammiversary as well as the New Japan in Long Beach reviews, which will be posted up as well. As well as thoughts from Will Pruitt, who will be attending that show live. I was trying to attend that show live, but of course, those tickets sold out within an hour or within a day. I was late. Also note, also another note to .NET members, before this weekend's events, we have the .NET Weekly Show, which is Jason Powell's flagship show of the site. He hosts the show. It's our flagship show at .NET. And it's where he and a co-host go over all the huge news in the pro wrestling industry with Slammiversary in New Japan this weekend. I'm sure that's a lot of news. The co-host of that show tends to be almost like a fighting game select screen of co-hosts, from maybe one of us .NET staffers to many other people in the wrestling industry. We have wrestlers, managers, WWE writers, and maybe a WWE Hall of Famer or two. Who knows who the guest host would be? I just scratched the surface on benefits of .NET membership, but for the low price of $7.50 a month, you can get full-on access to all the things I just mentioned. And also, it's ad-free, so you don't have to worry about ads on the site. If you take us up on our annual option, you can shave off about $2 from the full price to bring it down to an average of $5.50 a month. You can sign up at the front page on ProWrestling.net and click on the membership info link, and we'll get you hooked up. Now back to the audio review. In the next segment, we had Noam Dar apologizing to Arya Daivari about accidentally throwing his expensive bag into the river. Of course, they had a skit last week, and he complained about having to deal with Alicia Fox all the time. Daivari said, "Don't worry about it. $15,000 is nothing to him because he's a rich Iranian prince or something." And he said, "It's just peasant change." Noam Dar was relieved, and then Alicia Fox tried to FaceTime him. Arya Daivari took the phone and slammed it against the wall, saying that he doesn't want Dar's money, but Dar still owes him. So that was the segment, which leads into our next match, which was Cedric Alexander versus Arya Daivari. Arya Daivari defeats Cedric Alexander via pinfall in about 5 minutes even. And the way he won was Noam Dar ran out, of course. It was your standard Cedric Alexander versus Arya Daivari match. And Cedric Alexander gets distracted, allowing Arya Daivari to hit his a hammerlock clothesline for the victory. And yeah, I thought it was pretty solid. I liked Arya Daivari's look coming out. For the last couple of weeks, he's been coming out in like a full-on turban, sunglasses, and the silk shirts. Sean Daivari was much better in doing this whole Iranian prince thing. When Arya Daivari like just covers himself with like everything, it makes it look like he's trying too hard. Tonight he didn't look like he was trying too hard. This looked actually worked out for him, and looks like we're going to head into a possible feud, which I don't want to see, which has Arya Daivari and Noam Dar versus Cedric Alexander, and I'm gonna guess Rich Swann. This feud has been going on for a year. Has it been going on for a year? If not, it's close to a year. It seems like it's been going on forever. After the match, Dar had grabbed the microphone for a promo. He talked to Alicia Fox, saying that he knows Fox is at home, recovering from a neck injury, and wants to be on FaceTime with him. And she said, "He Noam Dar said he's sure that Cedric Alexander's chapter is over, or is over in the Noam Dar way that he says things." Dar said, "It's now time to move on and focus on love," and he then channeled Rocky by saying, "Alicia Fox, we did it." Like saying, "Adrian, we did it." And Neville was shown making his way to the ring. So, yeah, I'm not looking forward to that part. Even though I did like the match somewhat. No, not really. It was your standard Arya Daivari versus Cedric Alexander match. Cedric Alexander's probably going to get his wins soon or in the tag match. And this win wouldn't end up not meaning anything for Arya Daivari. I like that Arya Daivari took a step back as far as look is concerned. I kind of hope that Noam Dar gets called up to Raw or something just so we don't see this feud ever again. I like Noam Dar though. His character, who knew he had a character? He was kind of just like the pro wrestling guy at one point, and now he is like the sleazy foreign dude. But it works. Let's see. So we're gonna head on to our main event segment of the night. It was Neville in the ring addressing his upcoming match against Akira Tozawa. He talked about defending the championship at the Great Balls of Fire pay-per-view, and he said he's being that Akira Tozawa is being misguided and misled by Titus O'Neil. He called Akira Tozawa the Wonder Kid, let him out. Then like the crowd started chanting "Ha!" Long story short, Neville. This was your typical Neville promo where he tells his opponents that they're not at the Neville level. It was good. Neville can carry on a 10-minute promo segment these days. After that promo, Akira Tozawa made his entrance. He was wearing a suit. Neville yelled at Tozawa, and after every question that Neville threw at him, Tozawa would just respond by saying "Ha!" Which led the crowd in saying "Ha!" Tozawa then entered the ring and gave Neville some kicks, including a spinning roundhouse kick to set Neville to the outside. This was my second low-key reference of the night because Akira Tozawa wore a suit, and this time he did have a red floppy tie, just like Brian Kendrick earlier. But Tozawa ended the show by leading the crowd in "Ha!" chants. I thought it was solid. And there was no Titus O'Neil, so it was a bit refreshing. Even though I'm starting to grow on the whole Titus brand thing, or the Titus worldwide Titus, I forgot what it's called already. I'll just call it the Worldwide Titus or Titus Worldwide. But the reason why I was starting to grow on it was at points on 205 Live. So last week and the week before, you had Titus O'Neil being less cornball and talking about how he's looking out for the future of wrestle. They can't say wrestling, but the future of 205 Live or WWE, and that he sees the future in Apollo Crews and Tozawa. As long as they keep this the cheesy cornball lines away from Titus, I feel like this can work. You could have them. There's a level of cheese you can go to. See Drew Galloway in TNA, and he goes all over the place. He surpassed the cheese that he should be, but then pulled it back. And I feel like Titus O'Neil is pulling it back when he's on 205 Live. The problem is when he goes into WWE Superstar slash WWE Raw mode, it brings Akira Tozawa down. So I hope that doesn't happen either. But with minus Titus O'Neil, that was a really good segment. And the Ha thing, it allows Akira Tozawa to translate to the casual audience. And that will draw them into watching his matches, and his matches are very fun to watch. So, overall, this was a solid episode by 205 Live standards of 205 Live. Hopefully, the Cedric Alexander versus Noam Dar feud burns in the fire soon and ends. I don't even care if we don't get an ending to that feud, it's just never ending. Move Noam Dar and Alicia Fox to someone else. That thing should go away. So extricate that, and you have a solid episode of 205 Live. Thank you so much for listening along. I will be back tomorrow with my Lucha Underground audio. I'm usually a lot more positive about those because that show's actually pretty progressive these days. They don't suck like season two of Lucha Underground did, and like 205 tends to do on occasion. This episode didn't suck. It was just pretty good. So, yeah, have a nice Wednesday. And if you're not listening to this on Wednesday, have a nice week. Bye-bye.